Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Thank you for downloading the show. Before we begin the show, I would like to thank our sponsors. We were able to give away two great prizes this week thanks to Miss Pixies and to Sockets Records. Mix Pixies is a fantastic store in the heart of Logan Circle in Washington, D.C. The address for Miss Pixies is 1626 14th Street Northwest. It's super easy to get to. It's near 14th and U. Whether you're a tourist or a D.C. resident, stop on by. And I want to thank Sockets Records. It's a record label that this show supports. Sean has been on the show. He's the label head. A lot of the bands have been on the show. And upcoming shows that we want to promote for them are Saturday, January 28th at the Black Cat. It's the Sockets Records Showcase featuring Protect You, Imperial China, Buildings, and guests of the show, Cigarette. So without further ado, here's You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Wonderland Ballroom featuring Mark Pagan, Ruth Rasby, and The Mean Season.
Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Lock the gates! We're locking all the gates! We're getting fat on butter, everybody. Let's do it the Paula Deen way. We're doing it. We're going to open a restaurant in the South and judge people that judge us like a Miss Paula Deen. Miss Diabetes. Did everyone hear? Paula Deen has diabetes. It's official. It was announced today around 4 p.m. Paula Deen, everyone's favorite Southern chef. I'm using the term chef very loosely. Has the diabetes. What does this mean, everybody? What does Paula Deen's shitty insides mean for us? Well, let me explain what Paula Deen's shitty insides mean for us. Paula Deen is a very, very, very popular lady on the Food Network, a network that people watch for some reason I will never understand. You don't get to eat the food. You watch people do things with the food. Anyways, Paula Deen's going to die, but she'll die like Magic Johnson dies of AIDS. Like, it's never going to happen. Here's why. She's had diabetes for years. The reason why they announced it today is because she is now a spokesman for Big Pharma. She is the spokesman for a diabetes drug. The same way that Charles Barkley gained 30 pounds last year, and now he's the spokesman for Weight Watchers, everybody. Yes, we can get... Paula Deen is everything that's wrong in the world, and it makes me frustrated because it's like, I shouldn't even know who Paula Deen is, yet I know she has a restaurant with her sons in Georgia. It's got a lot of butter in Georgia. I know that she has a burger that features the meats of cows, and then I'm totally pro eating the meat. It's not a thing. Putting the bacon on the cow, and then instead of using bread, using donuts for the bun. Like, that's what she serves people! She's the food equivalent of Whitney! Whitney Cummings, everybody. Whitney Cummings! Yay, Whitney Cummings! She's a snarky lady. She says snarky things. You know, every guy is an idiot. Every man ever, every partially bearded man, snark, snark, snark. That's Whitney, okay? Whitney is a television show. If you don't know that, I want to know who you are because I want your life. I don't want to know who Whitney is, yet I can't stop but fucking talk on a stage about how awful Whitney is. I am... If this was like, if Whitney represents all white people, I'm... No. If she represents all black people, that makes more sense. I am the Klan. That's how much I fucking hate Whitney Cummings. So I think like to myself, like, okay, you want to be... You as in me. I want to host a talk show on the television sets of America. Because all those other countries suck. No. I want to host a talk show on television. That's kind of why I do this thing. And then I see Whitney is very... How the fuck is she... She's popular! Why do people like her? And I can't fucking fathom that, yet she has, like, a really decent rating share. And now there's Chelsea! And fucking Chelsea Handler has a show, and, like, there's... it's so frustrating! But then I flip my channels. I go to ABC to watch my new favorite show, Work It, everybody! You guys know what Work It is? It's Bosom Buddies! 22 years later. No, 32 years later. But Work It is a show featuring two gentlemen that dress up like ladies, because that's funny, because they can't get jobs, the economy sucks. And that's the premise of the show. But like that doesn't bother me that much, because no one expects Work It to be a success. Like, no one's going to get their own vodka line from Work It, but they will because of Chelsea Handler. She's gonna fuck. Here's the thing. I'm a negative fuck, and all I think about is like Paula Deen and Chelsea Handler and Whitney Cummings and the show Work It. And like, I fucking want to murder people, but there's no like person I want to murder. And my therapist is like, you can't even murder people. You think you can murder people. You'll never murder people. I tell my fiance, she's like, you don't have it in you. I fucking do. I could totally murder people. So if any of you have a job where I can murder somebody, I will fucking take that job and Whitney Cummings the shit out of it, whatever that means. But there is hope. All of my murder fantasies are actually leading me to watch really, really awesome television. It just was on the air 22 years ago. I've been watching Twin Peaks a lot recently. That's right. That's right. I only like to talk about the current events, like Twin Peaks. And it gives me hope. I realize like if some weird dude that's from Missoula, Montana, could produce a show like Twin Peaks, and yeah, it only got like a year and a half on the air, I could do this. Like, this is not that insane. There is a possibility that I could end up one day on a television screen. And it'll probably be for like 3 months in the summer at 3 a.m. following Carson Daly's third incarnation of Last Call with Carson Daly. But that's something. That's something to strive for. It may not be a hamburger with a pig on top between fucking donuts, but it's something. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we're on our donut eating burger, bacon, fat. How did she have a show? She's a spokesman for butter, ladies and gentlemen. Paula Deen is an official spokesman for butter. Why am I doing Food Network material in a hipster bar? It's never going to work. I've realized that, and there's no turning back. Well, thank you for coming, everybody. We're going to have a fantastic show tonight. We have three amazing guests. I'm done. I gave up already. This is a quick monologue. We have Ian, who's not here. Let's find out. Yeah, Ian's our guitarist. He's in this group band, Lenorable. Did you text him?
Yeah, I text Ian. He said he's on 295 he now. Said,
he says he's 38.
Traffic is clear, though, he says.
Traffic is clear. Okay, yeah. Good. iPhone. I just got a message that says 295. iPhone says 38 minutes. Fuck.
I asked him what he's listening to.
What is he listening to?
He's listening to Screen Vinyl Image Interceptors. That's a DC band. Good record. So he's listening to a good song. You know.
All right. Did somebody say slut? Speaking of sluts, we have a great show tonight. We have... Get the drums ready. We have Mark Pagan. We have... I hope I'm saying that right. I know I'm not. Ruth Rasby and music from The Mean Season. Not Ian, but Nathan, take it away, please. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I wrote a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Thank you.
It makes no sense without a guitar.
Yeah, this is even weirder. This I told Nathan before the show, I'm like, this is a local late show. Only 14-year-old males in like the suburbs of Chicago will ever enjoy this show. Nathan, take a microphone. I want to talk to you for a little bit.
Oh, no.
Nathan is an actual friend of mine, and he's one of the most negative people I've ever met.
Yeah.
Yet I walk into the Wonderland Ballroom tonight, and he's actually positive on probably my most negative night in recent memory.
I'm
so
there for you.
What's going on, buddy? What's your problem? Why are you so positive?
I had a good band practice.
Ooh, what band?
It was fun. I have this band, Washerwoman.
Mm-hmm.
We got like a good band practice, some new songs. I'm in a good mood.
How old are you?
28.
Did you still think you'd be playing music at 28?
Yes.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I usually don't talk to you on a microphone, isn't there?
I have nothing to say.
Fantastic.
No reason why I should be on a microphone.
Well, put that microphone down and let's bring up our first guest. coming to the stage. He's a filmmaker. He's an improv guy, which is kind of weird because I'm not usually a fan of improv guys, and we'll talk about that. He's a good human being. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Mark Pagan, everybody. Mark, come on up. Mark, how are you?
I'm good.
Mark, you are a filmmaker.
I am.
Also, how do I say your last name?
Pagan.
Pagan, I kind of got it right.
You did.
Okay, you're a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You had a film last year that was accepted to a bunch of festivals like Slam Dance, etc.
Yeah.
But it was a short.
Yeah.
The name of that film is Raymond and Lisa.
Lena.
Lena, I am so sorry. Yeah. I have it actually written down correctly.
That's fine.
Should I kill myself for making that mistake so early in
no,
the interview?
It's fine. My mom did the same thing.
Did your mom killed herself, or
no?
Did she Paula Deen it? Sorry,
she
that's not
Paula
a term
Deen
yet.
It. I should call her after this to check in about that whole.
You
want to
call it right now? I'll text my. Don't please don't do that right now. I apologize for instantly bringing that up.
Sure.
So it's a 10-minute short.
Yeah,
but you made it so it would one day become a feature.
Yeah, and now I'm. It's kind of that thing where I had a love affair with it, and now I'm not sure if I really want to marry it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, not to bore the audience too much, I'm trying other projects right now and trying a few different things, so we'll see.
What made you want to write and direct and make a short film? I've done the same myself, and there's a reason I no longer do it.
Why not?
They weren't very good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's completely subjective.
No, it's not. Yours is good. Mine weren't. There was one I made. I made six. One was like, I'm relatively proud of it, but the technology we used to shoot it makes it almost unwatchable.
What'd you shoot it on?
Three cameras that we borrowed from a university that were about 10 years old. So
well,
it looks like the Richard Linklater film Slacker.
You know, I've got...
But it's not artsy in any way.
I've got this old VHC camera that's been sitting in my apartment. I had to do like the fall cleaning,
mm-hmm.
and I took it out. And just popped in some tapes and started videotaping myself with
mm-hmm.
it. Not doing anything weird outside of just videotaping myself while I'm alone. But it's kind of cool to go back to that like really weird, grainy footage thing.
If it's intentional.
Not if
it's because that's the best equipment you can get.
I guess not, no.
So what made you want to do this?
I've done films for a while, and this just the story came about. I work with kids in the area. I've worked with kids for a while, so it was a kids-based tale. And
when you say it's a kids-based tale, for the people that haven't seen it, they can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can.
It's not a friendly like kids story. No, it's it's incredibly realistic in a not so fun way. It's not a sad film.
No.
But it wouldn't be a romp for the kids. It's a kids film, but it's not for kids.
No, I guess not. No, it's not for a lot of adults either, based on reactions when people walk
out. Well, it's also a short film, which means, like, come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's about a grandfather in the area who's raising... it's the day he has to raise his granddaughter. Like, he finds out he has to raise this little girl. So it's not, like, the lighthearted... I'm trying to think of something I've seen recently. I actually watched Mars Needs Moms with...
the animated film starring Joan Cusack?
Yeah, with a bunch of the kids, yeah. It's not bad.
Really?
It really isn't that bad.
Well, we could check that off of a weird, sad bucket list.
Yeah,
reference Mars Needs Moms.
Yeah.
If your mom is Paula Deen, does Mars need you?
I don't know.
That's a callback, ladies
know.
And gentlemen.
Good job.
You are also a theater director. You are also an improviser.
Yeah.
How do the three worlds combine, or do they?
Yeah, everything does. Not to get too geeky, I just like working with people. I like working with actors. So whenever I can get behind that and just like work with a group of people and get the best out of them. I actually don't like right now I'm really fucking nervous sitting here.
Did you see the monologue?
Yeah.
Really?
Brandon,
I wouldn't be nervous.
Brandon,
yes, just Nathan.
Ian just got on Florida Avenue Northeast. He's on New York and Florida Avenue.
Florida Avenue and...
Yeah,
okay,
Ian.
Does anybody want to take bets on when he shows up? I'm going to go 23 minutes.
Yeah,
25? All right, it's 8:10. Let's see if he shows up on time. We're looking at 8:33, a $1 bet. I don't know who's... Okay, perfect.
Back to you. See, do you feel as nervous as you were before?
Yeah, I still do.
Why? Why are you nervous? You see, here's the thing I don't understand. Like, I'm not a good man. You seem like a very nice man. You actually work with children, and, like, you're an artistic man, but you're not a yelling piece of shit like I feel right now. So, like, why would you feel nervous in any possible way?
I don't know. It's the same thing. Anybody, it's just judgment. Like, anytime.
Wait, who do you think's judging you?
No, it's just anytime you do anything in public. I don't you get that way? Sometimes you get on the train and, like, maybe, you know, the train stops and you're about to get on. You realize you're the only person getting on at that particular door.
Yeah.
And you get self-conscious, like, well, because I'm the only person, I'm not going to follow through. Am I just talking to, like, a crowd and nobody? Somebody please tell me.
Would you describe yourself as neurotic?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I am.
I'm not. I'm sorry, I'm not Jewish. I apologize, but that goes over well if I'm doing a purely, like, stand-up show, and this I just seem anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Ugh. Do you like Twin Peaks?
I love Twin Peaks.
Good. Speaking of Twin Peaks, kind of, Z. Let's talk about Z for a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
That's a show that you directed?
I direct is loose.
How are you, Bill?
Creator and performer.
Okay.
Justin Purvis. You know Justin Purvis?
Do I?
In the area?
Maybe.
He's kind of the improviser guy.
Probably not.
Okay, so you might not.
Here, we're going to talk about that, but let's continue talking about Z.
Yeah.
Okay, Z is a play about the two last people left on Earth.
Yeah, it's improvised. So it's basically the last 30 minutes of these two people. So potentially the last 30 minutes, or like the last 30 minutes before they go on to wherever the next place is.
Okay. Yeah. You improvise this.
And it's improvised, yeah.
So every night is a different show?
Every night's different, yeah.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. I wish I could answer it. It's just, it's fun. Like, is that the worst thing to say?
No, that's the best thing to say. The worst thing to say would be Coke, and I hate who I'm with, so I sleep with whoever shows up. That's the worst thing you could have said.
Okay.
Do you do that?
No, I do
not.
Good
for you. All right, so Nathan? I'm asking hard-hitting questions that the public maybe might want to know about. No, that they don't want to know about it. I apologize anyways. All right, so why are you in D.C.?
I still am answering that question. I've been back for 5 years. I grew up kind of in the area, and then I left for about 10 years.
Where were you in the 10 years?
I was all over. I was in Montreal, New York, South America, and then I was in Colombia. I was in Bogota. My best friend was getting married here in D.C. I don't know what I just pointed to. 16th Street. She got married 16th Street. I didn't have any money. My family lives around here, so I came back for her wedding, which I don't regret at all. And then stayed with the family for a little bit, and I was like, what next?
And that was
5 years ago. Yeah.
It was a very long reception for
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you really, you kind of answered the question.
So what brought me back?
Yeah, no, you're, but why are you still here?
I don't know. I fell into, in the last 6 or 7 years, I fell into working social work and educational advocacy.
Yes.
And I don't know, D.C., I ended up here by default because family's here.
Okay.
But I like the community. I like the kids. I just have always hung out and worked with the kids here. And I have great relationships with kids that are graduating now and, you know, going on and becoming adults. And it's hard to leave that sometimes.
So. I completely relate. I used to have a job very similar, and I really miss it. So if you need any help, let me know. If you need a guy swearing about kids about Twin Peaks, I'm your guy.
May call you on that.
Do they use a lot of butter in the after-school programs?
We do, actually.
No, that's wrong. Don't do that.
We have to. I mean, kids aren't going to eat the stuff we make sometimes.
Yeah, they will. What do you make them and they don't eat?
Certain types of pasta. Like, we make these bulk things. I run an after-school program. Mm-hmm. And so we feed these kids every day. And they come in and they are. I don't watch many of these shows, but what's the guy that's always yelling at people in the kitchen?
Oh, Gordon Ramsay?
Is that his
Gordon
name?
Gordon Ramsay,
the kids are like that. I mean, they're like tough critics, and you really have to not impress them, but if like a taste is off or if it doesn't have some kind of component that, like, just basically fat. If there's not fat in it, they're not going to eat it. And then you have to deal with like these angry faces for the rest of the day. So I completely fall to my knees with these kids in the
food. Don't say that. Improv.
That's pretty good.
Speaking of improv, why do you do that?
Why? What is your beef with improv?
I don't know. The problem with here's what I really honestly believe.
Weren't you improvising on the stage just 10 minutes ago?
No, but I fail alone. That's the difference. There's no yes and, it's no but. It's very odd. Okay, I am from Chicago. And yes. Improv reigns supreme for reasons I'll never understand. The stand-up scene there is fantastic, yet it gets no like love, you know? Because everybody's a second city IO. And I get why. I mean, those are great institutions, and they do a lot of great things. But so many people move there to essentially waste everyone else's time by being a bad improviser. So that's my experience with improv. They are the nicest people in the world. And not the funniest.
But is that...
Now, on stand-ups, they are the worst people in the world and the funniest.
But don't you have to sit through tons of terrible stand-ups before somebody can actually... There's so many audience members, so many hours in mm-hmm. the year during the day
yes.
that terrible stand-up is being created and performed.
Yeah, but...
Or anything artistic. Like, somebody has an exhibition of their first series of paintings or yeah. whatever, and the world has to be subjected to it. So hopefully this guy will be... Or, you know, whomever, the Einstein of painting.
Okay, it's not a terrible analogy. Here's the difference. All it takes is one patron to buy one piece to give that painter some weird, not any good confidence in their art, okay? Mm. When it comes to a band, when it comes to an improv troupe, there's other people trying to do the same thing. So if it fails, they go, okay, there's this time, there's always this positive feedback. Where if it's stand-up, you're on stage alone and you hear nothing, it's hard to lie to yourself. Trust me.
Okay, so why do you do it? Why do you do stand-up?
Real bad ideas. I don't know why. That's the thing. You just kind of feel like you have to do it because there's nothing else left.
And improv has never, ever, ever interested you.
No, just try. It hasn't.
Is it the group thing?
I think it's the group thing. And I've been in bands, and I've done the film thing, and I've done almost everything that you've done in a way more negative way. So what I'm really asking is, how do I get positive like you?
I don't know that I'm all that positive.
Well, you're smiling right now.
Well, yeah, but it's nervousness. Otherwise, I'd be at home.
Is that it? Like, I'm not a nervous man. I'm not neurotic in any way. Like, I don't, no offense to this crowd, I don't care what they think of me. If I did, I wouldn't be here. Like, I assume that they hate me. Who cares? They're here. You know what I mean? Like, let's just have fun, everybody. Here's the premise. We're all going to die, and there's either two ways to do it. You're either going to do it like the shitty nihilistic fuck everything way, or you're gonna do it the Mr. Rogers way. But the same thing is, I don't give a fuck.
That's
like Eminem. It's either Eminem or Mr. Rogers, and I am somewhere in the middle tonight. I'm way more Eminem, which I hate myself for, and I wish I was more like Mr. Rogers. But in the end, it really doesn't matter, so you might as well do what you want to do. And I get that that's what improv is.
Intellectually, I totally know that. Like, I get out, I wake up in the morning, you know, I open the door, I go, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here. Please tell me I'm not the only one. That's just like, all right, cool, I'm going to go about my day. But they're like little switches that all of us have. There's just everybody mm-hmm. has them. All these little switches of just like, eesh, oh, I'm getting – and judgment is – you know, is maybe a bigger word for other things. It's just like, you know, whether it's at work with your boss or, you know, getting on the train. Like, fuck, Jesus, look at my tie. Like, does anybody see, you know, the dandruff on it? I don't have dandruff. But, like, other, you know, these elements of you know, self-judgment or whatever, putting it on other people.
I don't have any of that.
See, it's like diarrhea of the mouth right now.
No, I have way more of that. I'm proud of it. We all fart, okay? That's another thing. We're all going to die. We're all going to shit and poop. That guy gave me the thumbs up. I like him. He just won a prize. By the way, we're giving away prizes tonight, and he just won the first one. It's fantastic. I'm not joking either. You won a prize. I don't know why I'm giving it away this way. This is the worst arbitrary way to give away things, but that's how we're doing it. So here's the difference. You're neurotic. You think about that stuff. I don't.
That's good, though.
No,
we should hang out.
We should definitely hang out.
We should hang out.
I need your
balance.
Positive influence in my life, and I need to drag you down.
Yes, absolutely. I need to walk around not caring about anything.
Honestly, I find you extremely fascinating, and I would love to continue this conversation off of mic. It's not. No, we have to move on. That's all it is. You're a very good man.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Wow, what? He's a great. Look at him. He's nice. He does stuff. He works with kids. Like, he's doing what I want to be doing in like a not shitty way. That's a good thing.
You have your podcast. You're bringing I don't know.
A handful.
Bring joy to people here.
Nope,
right?
They're just here. That's
please, like,
nope.
Let's clap or something.
No, no.
Like,
the reason why they're here is because it's not Riot Act and it didn't cost $10.
Why?
Where no, this is how we end from? Every interview. It's a question from the book of questions, love and sex. So I need you to pick a number between 80 and 210.
147.
147. Fantastic. We actually have that one. 147. What one change in your behavior would be most likely to make your relationship with your partner closer and warmer? Why don't you make that change?
Make it closer and warmer with my partner. I think I've been accused, maybe the wrong word. I just got out of a 5-year relationship.
Ooh!
And
I'm getting married to a lovely woman.
Oh, that's great.
See, that here's the thing. Here's the thing. Yeah, I don't care. She already said yes. She already bought the dress. It's happening. You can't hurt me. That's the thing. That's why I have this weird sick confidence. She leaves, I die on a stage, probably at a shitty open mic, like in Tempe or something. So I'm really dependent. Anyways, back to you.
Well, to play fairness to her, since she can't be here, and I'm not going to say anything to make her defend herself, to give her her voice, the issue with me was lack of full, like, engaged commitment sometimes. Like talking about the unit, you know, the couple. And I get very, dude, like, you're talking about me being good. Like, I, you know, I get selfish just like everybody else and talk about myself and things like that. And I, you know, I've forgotten in the past to just use language like we are going to and things like that. So that... I would probably change whatever that, if we can, like, encompass that into a nice little thing. No? All right.
It's your life, buddy. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, good luck making that change.
Yeah,
alone.
I'm trying.
I don't know. It's part of the question.
You and I are going to talk about it.
What?
We're going to talk about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I have a seriously, if it wasn't for her, I'm fucking dead. So this crowd is like, I hope she breaks up with you.
No.
Murder everybody. I've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks. I'm loving it. By the way, I'm Bob.
You're Bob.
Exactly. Okay. Where can people find you? Let's plug some stuff.
You can find me on the web at conchocolate.com.
Spell it for people that are hicks.
conchocolate.com. And then Twitter, I think, is conchocolate as well.
It is.
Just go to the website. It's got all the stuff, the Facebook, the blah, blah, blah. Say hi. You know, whatever. I'm around.
Wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Mark Pagan, everybody!
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Fantastic. What's the status on Ian?
Last I heard, Ian is on Georgia Avenue.
Ooh,
And Florida.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, he's close. He said 5 minutes. That was about 8 minutes ago.
It's 8:23. I said 8:33. I think we're on track. Okay. Coming to the stage, she's fantastic. And it's one of these things where, like, you can't say, like, oh, blow your mind. Because, like, then it's like, yeah, you're setting him up to fail. But I really like her. You'll like her too. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Ruth Rasby, everybody. Ruth!
Hey. I was really nervous that slut comment was going to be my intro. But, like, I'm a lot less nervous that was the filmmaker's intro, because it kind of seems like a whore. Like, 5-year commitment.
Right.
Yeah. So, how y'all doing? You guys all... How many of y'all from D.C.? Yeah? No one! This is D.C. Well, a few of you, yeah. I'm just ignoring you. But yeah, I'm from South Dakota. And I did pretty... Yeah, yeah. My sister's here. She has a really deep voice. Yeah, so I did pretty well in South Dakota. I was there till high school. But I failed sex ed. And it's not really my fault, because in South Dakota, that's a controversial class, so it's a little bit crappy. But, you know, they teach abstinence as sex ed, which, like, I mean, first they show you the video of abortion to scare you into it, and then they go with, oh, well, we don't believe in abortion. And I'm like, I just saw that video. I don't think you know what belief means, because it is definitely happening. And, I mean, Mary got knocked up anyway. So, anyway. But thanks, Brandon. But I'm in D.C. now. I work at HU, which everyone's like, oh, HU, white girl. And, like, I mean, sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking because I've seen how Eldridge Cleaver put Soul on Ice. And I was really nervous for a while, kind of excited, a little nervous, all ready for someone to, you know, call me Cracker. But I was already with Wheat Thin, and then they just called me Snow Bunny. And I was like, how do you know I ski? And I guess they weren't talking about my drug habit. But yeah, I work, it's my first job out of school, and you know, it's kind of hard because you get your first job and you want to work really hard, and sometimes you just run out of things to do. And I work with really supportive ladies, and they're always like, girl, you do you, you just do you. And I'm not sure what that means, but I'm pretty sure they're telling me to masturbate at work. It just doesn't seem right. But, like, sometimes I do it because... it's not easy to say this, but I'm a failed lesbian. I'd say bisexual, but that makes me sound like I'm too nice a person. And, like, anyway, like, sex, it's the root of bisexual, and I'm not sure if I am because, like, lesbians like to, like, redefine sex, and some people are like, oh, anything counts, but I was like, hardline. I was like, no, only if you're coming does it count, and so in that case, I am still so gay. But, yeah, I kind of find it emasculating to have a boyfriend at times because, like, I'm coming right off the gay slip, so all the guys I date are sort of pretty, a little effeminate, and this is D.C., so everyone thinks my boyfriend's gay and I'm his beard, which really pisses me off because I'm like, I am so much gayer than him. You don't even know. People like to compare gay rights and civil rights. Which, like, I mean, as a lesbian, like, nobody ever really discriminated against me. But I still got the, like, oh, hey, my sister's gay. Do you know her? I'm like, we don't all know each other. But is she hot? Like, introduce me. But failing as a lesbian, it's hard. It was really hard for my mom to take, especially because it was, like, 14th wave feminism for her. And so she came and she met some guy I was dating. She's like, so how long has Jeremy been a Jeremy? And I was like, oh, Mom, he was born that way. She seemed really disappointed. But, like, my family, we're a modern family. So, like, we're funny by ABC standards. Yeah, it's good standards, I suppose. Yeah, no. My dad's kind of effeminate and useless. My mom's pretty stereotypical. And we even... my parents adopted two kids, and my biological siblings and I, we try not to take it hard, but, like, they did wait till we grew up, and they did adopt from Haiti, so it's like, really, are you just trying to something new? But they say they love us all the same, and it's cool having little kids around, like, because Christmas, it's more fun, they get cooler toys, they're still into wrapping paper for a long time, But I gotta admit, I'm not the maternal sort. Like, I don't really like being around kids that much. They kind of drive me crazy. After about four hours hanging out with my family, like, I have to leave because my panties are a mess. And it's embarrassing to admit that, but every time I hang out with my family and it's, like, full-on family contact time, like, my eggs voluntarily commit suicide. And, like, I would go on the family trip, but I'm pretty sure it'd be a bloodbath. It's hard to tell menstruation jokes because usually I'm talking to, like, a crowd full of male comics, but I really like that joke because it's not menstruation, it's spotting, but a little bit different, but, like, it still makes people uncomfortable, that joke, and I think it's mostly kids, but, like, aren't these kids uncomfortable being in a bar? And aren't most kids in a bar pretty familiar with pedophilia? maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't work with children. I guess some people do. But I think it also, menstruation jokes make a lot of women uncomfortable, which I think is, maybe it's because they haven't felt the flush of womanhood between their thighs. And if that sentence makes you uncomfortable, I'd like to alert you that I'm not using flush as an adjective, so it is correctly, it's the verb, like flush the toilet. If that clears up any discomfort for you. So I was gay in Nebraska, where gay means lonely, which is really interesting. But I ended up working with a bunch of fat metalheads at a bakery, and it was really interesting because they were pretty much rednecks, and I was the only girl they ever saw. And like, I got shit all the time. I was the only girl working in the kitchen. And if any of you women have been in that position, you know, you're just getting shit thrown at you, people pulling at your hair like they're fifth grade flirting. And I tried to get my boss to come up and help me, and he was like, you gotta fight your own fights, because we're all about individualism in the Midwest. So I thought about it, and like, I'm not very big, so I waited until my moment of power. And then when someone threw something at me, I was just like, hey man, do that again, and I will reach between my legs, pull out my tampon, and slap it across your face. And this is something they never teach you in sex ed, but they should. I went home for Christmas. Y'all travel for Christmas? Yeah, sure. Audience participation? Don't participate. I'm just going to keep talking to you. It was interesting. I was trying not to drink too much so I could, like, you know, get in touch with my family. And so I watched my mom get drunk this Christmas. Which, like, to be fair, I'd received a lot of Vicodin from a younger brother, so it was pretty painless for me. But, like, you know, you get real when you're talking to your mom and she's a little bit drunk. And the first thing she talks about is I'm a smoker. And, I mean, she's like, oh, you know that's going to kill you. And you're like, no, no, mom. Like, I graduated from college. I'm pretty aware of this fact. I take astrology really seriously, and I'm a Cancer. So, and my mom doesn't know that, like, they call me Snow Bunny at Howard, but sometimes they call me Gangster, ironically. And that just gives me belief in smoking because, like, gangsters don't die. My mama just don't know that. But one of the questions that really, really bothers me is concerning my identity. She's always like, okay, Ruth, what are you? And sometimes I quote James Baldwin to her, but it's kind of confusing because that's the Baldwin brother she doesn't know. So she has problems with it, but it's like, what am I? I am one of your biological kids, by the way. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out, but I mean, I'm human, and I, like, as far as I know, that means we'll fuck anything. In like the history of human sexuality, there's like people, animals, minerals, Sibians, fleshlights. I'm like, you want to go on YouPorn, mom? Like, I will show you what people are fucking. But you know, she's an optimist. I'm a pessimist. I just think as a species, we're kind of coming everywhere and going nowhere. All right, thanks. I'm Ruth Rasby.
Ruth Rasby! Good job. First question, what are you?
Well, I don't know, like... What I
you
want
don't actually
to be?
Have to answer that. Oh,
okay, okay. It was a question.
Here's a tip.
Is this a rhetorical interview?
Somewhat. Here's a tip. Don't ever do audience participation anything in a hipster bar. Like, it doesn't ever work.
I know, man. White people suck.
It's actually not a race thing. It's a bearded thing. Do you guys like Coke and blowjobs? I'll give you all Coke and blowjobs. See, that's got like, what, 8 people out of 50? Exactly. See what I mean? You go to Riot Act Comedy, it's going to kill there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, no, you're funny. How do you fail at lesbianism?
It's a long story. Oh, okay, so we're doing this. I was never good at sports. I was friends with mostly gay men growing up. Like, that was my gay community. So I was like the one girl in the circle jerk. And I was like, all right.
So you're straight in a... awesome way.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll go with that.
That's cool. All
right. Sweet.
Check that off. Here's a potential album title for your first album. It's not menstruation, it's spotty.
Sort of like my sexuality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of times. It's a good one.
That could be in parentheses on the that'll be like the third track.
Sweet.
Are you a fan of the band L7? Do you have any idea why I'm asking that question?
No, not at all.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, okay, okay. L7 is this great all-female band, relatively popular in the early to mid-90s.
Like and Team Dresch?
What?
Isn't Team Dresch the... Oh.
Okay. Anyways, L7 was playing... What's the big... They're playing Glastonbury, and the lead singer, I think she's also the bassist in L7, pulled out her bloody tampon and threw it at the audience.
Oh,
and proceeded to get sued.
What?
So that's a reference to your joke. So now we're learning about that. Fantastic. Why'd you start doing comedy?
I was bored in Omaha, Nebraska.
Really?
And there were a lot of, there weren't a lot of comedy mics, but there was a lot of poetry mics.
Ooh, those are the best.
Oh, yeah. So I tried that. That shit was terrible.
Really?
Oh, I'm not a poet. I am not sensitive enough.
Are you
something.
Saying that the people that do poetry open mics are poets?
No, no, they're not.
Because they got a great one at Bloom Bars, everybody. It's next door to the Wonderland Ballroom. It's true. They have a great poetry open mic. I'm a big fan of it. Sorry, continue.
Oh, no, it just encouraged me to do comedy because you can't... I mean, it's easier to make fun of poets after they read you their diary.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I just failed at it, so apparently it's not that easy. Why did you go to Howard?
I went there as a student, actually. I got.
I understand that, but why did you go there as a student?
I got the Affirmative Action Scholarship. I'm the only white girl who doesn't play sports on Howard. Like, all the other white girls tower over me and kind of... They all play volleyball.
Did you really get a scholarship to go to Howard?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks. It was... Yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Affirmative action's kind of controversial, I guess. But,
is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. You're...
You're the one running the interview. I'm just answering your rhetorical questions.
Am I?
Like God.
Ooh, I'm going to ask you a question from last week's guest. Why bondage? That's what was written down. See? You don't actually have to answer that.
Okay, good.
Very good.
Good, good.
You're not an advocate for BDSM issues, are you?
I'm going to treat that like a
rhetorical I'm enjoying
question.
This way too much. I'm sorry, Ruth.
It's okay.
You're funny.
Thanks.
Good.
You too, man.
Ah, really? Nah, you just feel like you had to say that. You could be like,
no,
you're
no,
here.
No, I don't say that. I've told guys they have small penises after being in
medium. Like, I got medium.
Medium? Oh, yeah, are you a grower or a shower?
Medium.
Okay.
Oh, by your logic, my fiance is gay.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a
really early callback. She understands why it's funny. It'll be cut from the podcast. Don't worry.
Oh. It's good she said yes anyway, huh?
Maybe it won't be cut. That's actually that's the best possible response. Yeah, I have no idea why she said yes. I'm not rolling.
Does she speak English?
Yeah.
That's good.
I should have had you just co-host. That would have been better. You might co-host in the future if you want. You don't have to.
When I'm not menstruating, I have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Sweet. Have my outline already. See you guys later.
Bye. You can't top that. Ruth Rasby, everybody! Oh, no, Ruth, fuck that. Come back. Come back for two reasons. One, I didn't ask you a question. Three, our guitarist finally fucking got here. Sit down. Ruth, I need you to pick a number between 80 and 210.
211. 211.
You get
really
210.
Bad at math.
Yep, that's not math. That's just called listening. You're this entire book by Gregory Stock, PhD. He's an awful writer. The whole point is you ask questions to people and they'll answer. It's like an out loud thing. It's not supposed to be read on your own. Yet he puts parentheses in the book like, never mind. Your closest friend and companion since childhood and your lover, whom you have known only 3 months but feel like you have waited for all your life, are both in grave danger. If you could save only one, which would it be?
So it's like my best friend or my lover?
Yeah, but you've known the lovers for 3 months and your closest friend since childhood.
Oh. I've known most of your lovers. Okay, yeah, so I'll go with friend. I'll go with friend. Stephanie Holloman. I'll save you. That's probably not what you want on a podcast, huh? That's a pretty shit question, man.
Here's 209. If you had a terrific sexual and emotional relationship with your partner, would you be more disturbed to learn that your partner occasionally had brief sexual flings or regularly had sexual fantasies about other people?
Why? Fuck no, man. I read Dan Savage, and apparently now extramarital relationships, as long as you don't tell your friends, is the key to a healthy relationship. And I'm bisexual, of course.
Are you single right now?
Yeah.
There's a reason. Okay, Ruth Rasby, everybody! It got mean at the end. It got real mean. Thank you, Ruth. Are you seriously setting up? You realize the band's about to play and we have to clear all this equipment from the stage. All right, cool. The Mean Season's going to set up and play, but we actually have two giveaways. We're giving away two things. We're giving away tickets to Sockets Record Showcase on January 28th at the Black Cat. We have two tickets to give away. That's a $24 value. And we have a gift certificate to Miss Pixies, which is a $25 value. So let's do the ticket first. We're going to do trivia questions. Only answer if you actually want the prize, okay? If you don't want the prize, just tell somebody that does and something. We're going to do the tickets first. We're going to do the tickets to Sockets Record Showcase. Protect You, Imperial China, Buildings, and Cigarette Are Plain. So, in the monologue, I reference Twin Peaks. I talk about David Lynch. I said where he's from. Where is David Lynch from? Do you want him? There you go. You want him. Come up here, buddy. What's your name? What's your name? Write your full name down so I can send it to him. Thank you. Thomas won the tickets. Okay. The gift certificate to Miss Pixies. Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir. Talk to me after the show so I make sure I spell your name right. Okay. Miss Pixies. Great, great store on 14th Street. Here is the trivia question. Paula Deen has diabetes. Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. Oh, yeah, she does. Paula Deen. Why did Paula Deen wait so long to come out with her diabetes revelation? All right, that's too many answers. Because she's fat. Man, who said that one? You won. You won. That's it. We're being mean to people. Here you go. $25 gift certificate to Miss Pixies.
Wondering who designed the artwork for this podcast? Gig Posters by Rich created the neat art for this show and a bunch of our past live shows. You can view all artwork online at gigpostersbyrich.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the Mean Season.
The song's called Henry.
Henry, he's like the devil but twice as mean. Henry, the meanest guy I know. Henry, Henry, he had to let him burn. And baby, she couldn't wait to see him leave. A baby, she couldn't wait to see him go. Why? sometimes, most of the time, I'd rather be alone. So if you take your time coming around sometimes, I won't mind. I'd rather be alone. And baby, if you mind being alone sometimes, well then maybe, baby, I'm not your girl. For love, when it is only an organ pumping your blood. And who decided it was such a perfect symbol for love, when it is only an organ pumping your blood, pumping your blood, pumping your blood, pumping your blood. I'm she. She's me with a convo of rainbows. It's a shame about the other, it's a shame, it's a shame. And it's a shame about the other, it's a shame, shame. It's a shame about the other, it's a shame, it's a shame. It's a shame about the other, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. You saw it with your own two eyes. Sometimes when your love is dying, I'll drop. A perfect symbol for love, when it is only an organ pumping your blood. And who decided it was such a perfect symbol for love, when it is only an organ pumping your blood, 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 blood. Your blood, blood, blood. Your blood, blood. Who decided it was such a such a perfect symbol for love when it is only an organ pumping your blood? And who decided it was such a perfect symbol for love when it is only an organ pumping your blood? Pumping your blood. Pumping your blood. Pumping your blood. Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.
Thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Before we leave, here's a little taste of Cigarette. They are playing the Sockets Record Showcase on Saturday, January 28th, over at Black Cat. So the website for that is Black Cat DC. Once again, Saturday, January 28th, Sockets Record Showcase featuring Protect You, Imperial China, Buildings, and Cigarette, who recently played the show. So here's a Cigarette song, and if you like it, consider going to the Black Cat on Saturday, January 28th. Once again, thanks to Sockets Records and our other sponsor for the show, Miss Pixies. And without further ado, Cigarette.